Right, well, we're going to continue our series looking at the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. It's a book that we've kept coming back to. It's actually one of my favorite Gospels, written by this beloved physician, this man who was a follower of Jesus, an evangelist in many ways, a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. If you don't have a Bible, do just raise your hand. Someone will bring one to you. And we're at Luke chapter 4, the end of chapter 4. We've been in this series for some time, going through Luke kind of 3, 4, and 5, those three chapters there that teach us a lot about what it means to follow Jesus, because they keep us looking at what Jesus is doing. And often his followers are with him, and they're watching it as well and learning, and I want us to be doing that as a church in these days. So this morning we're looking at following Jesus. It's both public and private, and I guess today this is a bit one of the public things, and the word says, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture. So that's what we're just about to do. We're going to read from Luke chapter 4, verse 38 to 44. It's page number 1031 in those Bibles you've just received. It says, Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon, later to be known as Peter, by the way. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of diseases, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Should we pray and ask God to help us understand his word, but also to help us apply it as we seek to follow Jesus ourselves? So, Lord, we welcome you to this service. Thank you for the opportunity to pray and praise you. You are God. You are able. And you're able now to help me, help us, and we ask for your help that we might understand your word and apply it to our lives. So come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. This morning I want to deal with some tough questions. Questions about healing, questions about prayer, questions about priorities. I wonder if you've ever thought of questions like this. Does God heal today? How much should we expect him to heal today? I wonder if you've ever thought about this. How important is prayer to my spiritual life? Or maybe this one. How am I praying? Or what about this? How do I know what to prioritize? Have you ever wrestled with that? Or when do I know whether my priorities should change? And how much time should I spend kind of on my own, doing my kind of own walk with God, and how much time with others, seeking to help them? How do we get that right? Well, these are the kind of things I want us to look at this morning. And within life, there are both these parts, aren't there? The kind of public part and the private part. And that's true in healing and prayer and priorities. These things are no exceptions. There's often also public and private aspects to them. And whether you're an introvert here this morning or an extrovert, and I won't kind of get everyone to sort of see what you are, but usually we fall into one of those two things. Following Jesus requires both public meetings and ministerings to others, and also private times alone with God. It's true of every one of us here. We might have tendencies towards one or the other, but we need both. If you like, there's a revealed part of our lives, and there's a secret or hidden part. It reminds me of one of my favorite verses in Scripture. I think we've got it up here on the screen right now. It says this: the secret things belong to God, to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. Deuteronomy 29, and it's very easy to remember this one, because it's Deuteronomy 29:29. See, you've almost learned it already. Do you want to say it back to me? Then we just make sure we got it. Just let's read this out. I'm going to have a sip of water. Go for it. The 29. You got it. Okay, let's keep this verse up here and think about this for a moment. Questions of healing. There are revealed things in Scripture about healing, and there are secret things, mysteries. There are revealed things about prayer, and there are secret things, mysteries. There are revealed things about our priorities. There are hidden things, mysteries. And look at that verse with me, and which one should we focus on? Which one is the bit that we're meant to feed off and learn from? The revealed bit or the secret bit, the mystery bit? Which do you think? The revealed bit. But I want to know about the secret mystery bit. That's the bit I wrestle with. But we're meant to look to the revealed bit. The stuff that we see in God's word plain. That's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look into Jesus' life once again. We're going to look at the pages of Scripture, and we're going to see what's revealed plainly. And we're going to learn from that, and we're going to let it nourish our souls so that when we do face mysteries, and there are mysteries, there are secret things that I think we'll still have questions on until we eventually see Jesus face to face and know fully all things. And then we'll have all the answers we might want. But for now, we need to build our lives on the revealed things. So what's revealed here that we can learn from? Well, I want us to see three things about Jesus this morning. I'll tell you what they are right at the start. We want to see Jesus' power. That's plainly revealed here. We want to see Jesus' prayer. That's plainly revealed here. And we want to see Jesus' priorities. Those two are plainly revealed here. And as we see them, we'll learn from them. Because if they were important to him, they'll be important to us as well. So first, Jesus' power. We ended last week thinking about the authority Jesus had, authority demonstrated in his power, power to drive out demons and transform lives. You know, power is revealed often in problems, isn't it? There are no problems. Sometimes we don't get a chance to see power at work. But where there are problems, then there's also the possibility of transformation. And Luke tells us in this passage of a problem. Look with me, verse 38. This is the problem. Jesus was leaving a synagogue, and he went home to Simon's home. And actually, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. Luke's this doctor, so he kind of specifies as a high fever. You could imagine him maybe dealing with people who had high fevers, knowing that all the different things that could maybe mean. But there's a problem. And I want you to notice this about this problem, that those around her, and maybe even Simon's mother-in-law herself, invited Jesus in to help. It says, doesn't it, at the end of verse 38, and they asked Jesus to help her. It's a great thing to do if you've got a problem. Invite Jesus to help you. Jesus comes, and with this authority that he has as the Christ, you see that later in the passage, and we were looking at that last week, the Christ, the anointed one, the King, the Son of God, he comes with that authority, and as we've seen over recent weeks, just with a word, as it says here, verse 39, he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she got up at once and began to wait on them. Once again, we see Jesus' amazing power and authority to transform lives. Notice again, at the end of verse 39, it says she got up and began to wait on them. One of the things that Jesus transforms us in our abilities is that actually we're transformed to be able to serve him and to be able to serve others. In amazing ways, God touches our lives like Simon's mother-in-law, so that though we might think we don't have the ability or we might think we don't have the strength, God can use us even in our weakness to serve him and serve others. Hallelujah. So Jesus comes and transforms lives. Jesus has power. Please, we're so familiar with reading the gospel, sometimes we can forget that when we read these healings after healing, we can kind of almost get used to it. This is amazing. This is Jesus. This is the one who has power. And notice that Jesus does things sometimes in different ways. There he bent over her and rebuked the fever, but it goes on, and we see that there was this one instance of Simon's mother-in-law, but then in verse 40, you notice that it's like he says, I could mention tons of others, because there were just many times he healed people, and it says when the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. There were many who came to him, but the thing I want you to notice, and sometimes in the Bible it does speak of Jesus laying his hands on those who are sick, not always, but it's common. What I want you to see is that there's almost an individual touch to how Jesus works. He could have just said, there's that crowd, that city, everyone be healed. I'm sure he has that kind of power. But you never once in Scripture read of him doing that. You see him coming, and those who ask, those who come to him, he touches. He heals. He ministers to them. Often individually, like you see here, laying his hands on them. And on the odd occasion where it's two people crying out in the Gospels, or there's one time when 10 lepers come to him, they all seem to be asking, heal us. And he heals them. So, I find this immensely encouraging. Because it just lifts my vision again off my problems and challenges and onto Jesus, the one who is able, the one who has power. But it does make me ask this question, and we do have to think about this question this morning. Does God still heal today? Because I'm sure many of us here have been sick, and I'm sure many of us here even this day know people who are sick. So this is very relevant. Does God still heal today? And there's two phrases I want to pick up which I think are going to help us there. In verse 41, where right at the end of that little paragraph there in verse 41, it's actually speaking about, it says they knew he was the Christ, the Christ. That word means the anointed king. It means he knew that those around, and in fact, in this point, it's the demons, but through the whole of Scripture, that becomes revealed plainly to all. They knew he was the Christ, the King. And then there's this little phrase that Jesus uses in verse 43. He says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. And the good news of the kingdom is this. The King has come. That is the good news of the kingdom. The King has come. In fact, I was reading a commentary on this passage by a guy called Leon Morris, and he says this. He says, we must preach the gospel. He says this. Notice, let me get the right place here. This is Luke's first mention of the kingdom of God, which was to become the favorite theme in Jesus' teaching. It is an exceedingly large subject. Here it must suffice to say that it is God's rule in action. The Jews were looking forward to a time when God would assert himself as king over the nations. But Jesus taught that God's kingdom had already come in him, in the authority with which he combated evil. In a sense, the kingdom was a present reality, but in another sense, it was yet to come in all its fullness. So I want to just pause, and as we wrestle with this question, does God heal today? We almost need to get a theological framework for this, because it centers around this whole idea of the kingdom. And I want to just give you a couple of key points in the history of the whole world. And they're these. Jesus came. This is like a timeline, this yellow line we've got up on here on the screen. Jesus' first coming is the big event in the whole cosmos of everything. It's like everything hinges around that moment of Jesus coming into the world. And then there's this second great event, which hasn't happened yet, which is Jesus' second coming. It's when everything will be brought to its fullness, and everything will be restored to the order it's meant to be. And that won't be the end. It will be the end of things as we know it here, and then it will continue on in the glorious reign of Christ. So there's Jesus' first coming, and before that, people were waiting for this kingdom. They were anticipating it. And then there came a moment when Jesus came, and Jesus then starts to teach the good news of the kingdom, that the king has come. And so in this part here in the middle, the kingdom's come in part, but not fully. It's come in part because the king has come, but not everything in the world is under the reign of that king. And then Jesus comes a second time, and the fullness of the kingdom is brought into effect. So where are we? Well, I hope you've realized we are in this middle bit where the kingdom's come in part, but not yet fully. And so the question is there for us. Does God heal today? Is that part of the kingdom that's come, or part that we're waiting for? And what we do know is that definitely in the fullness of the kingdom, after Jesus' second coming, there's going to be no more tears, no more death, no more sickness. That's really plain. But in this bit, we've got to wrestle with it. Plainly, it's not everything yet, but can we still expect, pray and seek God for healing? Well, the key to kingdom work is the presence of the king. Agreed? So let me ask you this. Do you believe the king is present with you now? Do you believe Jesus is here as we worship? Do you believe Jesus can be there with you as you go amongst your work and your situations and the problems of your life? I would want to say yes. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that Jesus is with me as I walk and as I talk to others. I believe that when I pray, he's promised to be with me. In fact, that was what he said to his disciples just before he left them. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Is that not a promise? Certainly a promise I was holding on to as I started today. So he's with us. We know that one day we're going to see him more fully, and it will be kind of easier to know he's with us because he'll be right there before our eyes in all his splendor and majesty. But for now, we have his promise. So again, does God heal today? Well, if the king is with us, I believe yes. I believe, yes, God can heal today. And I want to say, praise the Lord, that I know there are people in this place who've seen and experienced God's miraculous healing in their lives. I was talking to Mike and Nellie on the PowerPoint before the service. And one time Mike's actually stood here and testified to a miraculous healing that God gave him of a really serious back pain that was giving him basically crippling him in his work and all those kind of things. And God just took it away one time like that when he was crying out to him. Nelia as well had actually had one time had a very similar back problem that she came to the elders to ask for their prayer, and God amazingly took it away. Johnny Holman is another. Johnny, just give us a wave. Johnny's there, and Johnny's testimony of coming to faith is that someone prayed for him to be healed, and he was healed after years of struggling with a sickness. And he thought, wow, I've got to find out about this Jesus. And there are others here, people who've had amazing stories of God healing them. Talk to them, listen, talk to one another, share those stories. But there are others here who've prayed, who we've even prayed for as elders, and they haven't got healed. I struggle with that. I struggle with, does that make me think, well, there's no point praying? No. Because I know that Jesus can heal. I know that he has the power. I know that he cares. I know that he can. And I know I see here revealed in Scripture and throughout Scripture, pray for one another, pray for those sick, encourage those who are sick to come and be prayed for. But I see this mystery of at times unanswered prayer, which is part of what we wrestle with, this mystery of why sometimes God doesn't work in the way I want him to. And I found it so helpful, again, studying this, to read in another commentary by a guy called Michael Wilcox, and he says this. He says on the question of arises from this whole account of Jesus' healing ministry is, of course, does he do the same today? And he says this, my own view, and it is no more than that, in a matter where there are many divergent views, is this. Luke presents throughout this whole section a Jesus who utters words of power. And in these particular instances, a Jesus who is the healer of men's ills. And Jesus is the same today. He goes and quotes a hymn, thy touch has still its ancient power, no word from thee can fruitless fall. But his methods are his own, and not the oversimplified ones his patients would sometimes prescribe for him. I would therefore make a broad distinction, he goes on, between two methods of healing. Not the obvious distinction between the miraculous and the medical, but one which lies deeper than that, where his object is to be known as the healer, he works immediately. Such cures are, as it were, for the shop window, the kind of success story which establishes the reputation of a great surgeon or physician. And I see no reason why in some circumstances today Jesus may not choose to work in this way and for this purpose. But where he is already known, he may well say to his trusting patient, I could, of course, give you immediate relief, but I would rather take the opportunity to do something more far-reaching, which will be to your greater benefit in the long run. You will find it more protracted and perhaps more painful, and you may not understand what I am doing because I may be treating disorders of which you yourselves are unaware. He will then set to work to deal with the needs of the whole person rather than with the obvious needs only. He may aim at calming of spirit or of strengthening of courage or of clarifying of vision as more important objectives than what we would call healing. And he goes on to say this, the prayer of faith cannot fail to bring about this result of healing. He talks about that sense in terms of whether it's now or whether it's that final day when we go to glory. But the faith in which such prayer is prayed must not be faith that Jesus will heal in some particular way, the way we should advise him to do it, but faith in Jesus the healer, who will choose his own timing and method. So let me underline what I found so helpful here. Yes, we need to pray. Yes, we need to expect. And I would say, Holland Road Baptist Church and David Trenier, we are probably in the place where we need to grow in our expectancy and our prayer and our persistence and our faith in a Jesus who can, who is able. But please let us not do this. Let us not have faith in our faith. Faith in our faith will cause us to think, have I got faith enough today? Let's rather have faith in Jesus. Let's keep our eyes fixed on him. And let's pray with confidence. And you know, we often at the communion table pray for one another. And I want to have some time at the end where we do just that. Where we pray for those who are sick. This is the place, I believe. The communion table is the reminder of the death of Christ. And I believe that it's through Jesus' death that sin is conquered and the effects of sin are destroyed and counteracted. It's through the cross that the victory is won for these things to be ours in Jesus' name. And in fact, I've had times when I've just said, Lord, please give me a greater vision of the power of the cross. And I tell you what, it's big. The power in the cross of Christ is big. Maybe today we just need to up our vision of who Jesus is, up our vision of the power of the cross. And know that those things are revealed in Scripture. And where we have secret mysteries that we don't quite understand, things we wrestle with, we'll find out when we get to heaven. But for now, let's build our lives on the things revealed. Amen? Amen. Okay. That's Jesus' power. And there's much there that we could talk of. But it's Jesus who does it. And next we see that there's this link between, I think, Jesus' power and Jesus' prayer. Because there's an intimacy that Jesus has with his Father. And I would say that often that healing flows in our praying as we have an intimacy with God. Because we recognize who he is. We recognize that he is able. We recognize that we're doing the things he wants us to. And so look here at verse 42. It says, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. We see later in chapter 5:16 as well, a similar phrase repeated. It says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. The sense is pretty clear that Jesus was withdrawing to pray, to spend time with his Father. There was public ministry and there was private prayer. There was a hidden life with the Father. And I asked people at the beginning of the summer, you might have remembered this, I think it was both at our last church meeting and it was here on a Sunday. I said this, how is your hidden life with God? How is your hidden life with God? I think it's a vital question for us as Christians. Vital question for pastors and church leaders, but for, I believe, everyone. I know in my life that I can't go for long if I don't have some hidden life with God, which is not about ministry or public prayer or that stuff or public even worship. It's about me and God and knowing who he is and enjoying him for who he is and saying, Father, I trust you, love you, taking time to be with him alone. How is your hidden life with God? You know, Jesus seems to have a rhythm to his life. And in fact, I'm a bit of an engineer and I say a bit of one. I'm actually still a chartered engineer. But that was my training and background, what I used to do. And I loved physics when I was at school. I loved pendulums. You know pendulums? Watch them for ages. I don't actually have a grandfather clock. Maybe I should. Anyway. You see, there's a rhythm there, isn't there? And actually, Jesus' life had a rhythm. There was times of private abiding with God, times of public fruitfulness and ministering to others. Times of abiding, times of fruitfulness. Do you notice anything about this pendulum? As the abiding's less, so too the fruitfulness. As the less you go into God, the less you have to give out to others. But when you're really abiding deeply, then you can swing in ministry. And to do that takes challenge. It takes pruning. Jesus said in John 15:5, we got it up here on the screen. In fact, I think I mentioned it the other week when I was talking about prayer. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And then I think I said this bit, which I want us to all say together. Apart from God, we can do nothing. And I talked about our praying in the light of that. I said, do we really believe that? Do we believe that apart from God, we can do nothing? Are we willing to swing deeply into him? And actually, this pendulum idea is something that I've learned from others. And in fact, some of our leaders have been picking this up and using it. And it's an illustration like of a semicircle. I think we've got it up here. That swinging pendulum of abiding on this side or rest to fruitfulness and work. Or if you like, pruning. There's a need sometimes to prune to create space to pray. I've been trying to do that in my life, to just prune, to create space to pray. And then out of that, the ability for things to grow. Pruning and growing, abiding and fruitfulness, rest, work. These are the God-given rhythms that we see even in Jesus' life. How are those kind of rhythms in your life? The private and the public. The getting alone with God and then getting alongside others with God as well. In fact, that wasn't maybe as clear. We should just call it the semicircle. Here we go. We've got a picture of a semicircle. Just to remind us of that pendulum. Maybe if you're meeting with someone and they go, you recognize their life and you think, man, this person just needs to prune a few things back, get some rest, get some time with God. You might want to say, let me just draw you a semicircle and talk about this pendulum thing that I heard David talk about once and he got from someone else. And just can share a simple idea like that and it can remind you. And in your own life, think about that rhythm. How is your private, hidden life with God? It takes the discipline. You see Jesus here. He got up early at daybreak and went out to a solitary place. He had to get away from the sort of people who were around him just pressing in on things. And he took time to be with God. Took time, though he was the Son of God himself, took time to be with his Father. And I believe that out of that flowed his power, out of that flowed his priorities, which we're going to touch on in a moment. But I want to just ground this home and talk just a moment to each one of us again about prayer. This is so vital. You know, I almost thought today was going to be the day to do this survey that I talked about some weeks back about how you're doing reading the Bible. And I said I'd kind of give a survey at some point, anonymous one, just to really see how are we really doing on that. As a pastor, I kind of want to know how's the church doing on reading the Bible. And I thought this would be a great thing to add to that survey. How are we doing in prayer? But I thought, like I did with the Bible bit, I'd kind of give you a heads up and say, at some point in this autumn, I'm going to do one of these spontaneous things where I just say, okay, guys, just anonymous, write it down. How are you doing in your reading of the Bible? How are you doing in prayer? And I want you to be honest. This is not a thing where I want the enemy to burden us with guilt. You know, he loves to do that, doesn't he? And I found this little phrase so helpful. Someone once told me, pray as you can, not as you can't. And we have different seasons in life, different times when we're able to give more time to pray and other times when we're not. We have seasons when it's really hard to get away because we've got to take little children with us. And that makes it hard to pray, but you still need to pray. And in different seasons of life, we can pray in different ways, but we do need to pray. And it takes pruning and it takes doing sort of sometimes decisive action. And one of the things I want to encourage you with even tomorrow is think, what do I need to prune out so I can make space for prayer? Might be half an hour sleep could go and your life would still be all right. And you get half an hour every day with Jesus. I was speaking last Sunday evening about blind Bartimaeus. I love it. He gets called by Jesus. And then the guy say to him, cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. And I said how that little verse has really ministered to me because I've often thought about it first thing in the morning when I'm there sleeping. I'm aware that it's kind of, I'm now just awake, all my alarm's gone. And I think, right, this is my time to go and spend time with God. Oh, so nice and cozy in bed. And I think of that verse and I think, it says he threw his cloak aside and I just say, right, I'm on my feet. Cheer up, David. He's calling me. Jesus, the King, is calling me, David, to get time with him. Suddenly it changes and I'm on my feet and I want to get time with him. So what do you need to change tomorrow? Is it half an hour less sleep? Is it half an hour less TV? Sometimes if you save the TV in the evening, you can sleep more and you can get up earlier. Is it time on the internet? Is it just, if you left that social thing half an hour earlier, it could give you half an hour? Is it that you're just trying to do too much work in the day and you just need to take time out? Do you take a lunch break? I'm sure you're allowed to. You know, you could spend it with the Lord. Sure, if you stepped out of the office for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, hey, even 20. Sure, someone will be okay with that. He's calling you. Take time to pray. And as you pray, pour out your heart to him. You know, I might just do this, even though it might forfeit us a bit of time. I found in prayer, I sometimes get in a rut. Do you ever get in a rut in prayer? And I just, same phrases, same words, same things. And I sometimes found it helpful to have little jolts to get me out of my rut. And sometimes it's actually just fresh vocabulary to think about, particularly in terms of God when I'm praising him. And someone I heard speaking recently, and they said sometimes they just think about like the alphabet. And think of trying to think of something, either a name of God or something that describes God or a word about God that is, it begins with every letter of the alphabet. And I tell you, I was just doing this and I so enjoyed it. And I thought, I bet we could do that on a Sunday. I reckon we could just even start with A and someone would say, God is able. And then B's a bit more tricky. We could say like, he's the beginning, before all things. And you think about that and you start praying to it. Wow, he's able, he can do everything. Beginnings before all things. And C, what do you think of? He's great. Yeah, he's compassionate. Creator. And D, he's dynamic. Never prayed that. I've never prayed, God, thank you that you're so dynamic. Isn't that great? He's the deliverer. He's dad. E, everlasting. Emmanuel. death. Faithful. Father. Think about faithfulness of God for a while in your prayer time. Gee. It's God. Gracious. H. Holy. Holy God. I. Indescribable. Incomparable. J. He's Jesus. Joyful. I love the fact that God's joyful. Isn't that great when you're having one of those days? You just think, God, you're joyful. You are happy today. I want to spend time with you today. K. King. L. Lion of Judah. Lamb, loving. M. So many things. I just put massive. He's great. N. I put near. O. Omni something. Yeah, I knew it was going to come up. But think about it. You know, Edwina once told me this. She rung me up. She said, it's something to know God's present. It's a whole other thing to feel He's present. Thank you, Lord, that I know You're present. Please, Lord, today I want to feel Your presence. P. Powerful. Powerful, pure. Q. I struggle with this one. Got me thinking. I started thinking lots about God. You know what I came down to? He's quiet. God is so quiet sometimes. Hey, as I thought of that, I just found I could take some time just to think about God is quiet. He doesn't always say everything I want Him to say. He doesn't seem to say a whole lot if you think that He knows everything there is to know about everything. Ah. What? Right. He's right. Yeah. He's right. S. Savior. T. Trustworthy. U. Unchanging. V. Victorious. Like that one, didn't have that. W. Wonderful. Y. Yahweh. Z. Zealous. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. So I just found that just great joy. You can do it. There's no right answers to it. It just gets you thinking broadly about in your prayer and your time with God. And you know, one of the things I would love you to do is advance plan. I'd love you to take time this week, tomorrow, to pray. And you'll notice in your update, we actually sometimes, as a church, just set aside a week to pray. And what I've got there right in front of you is if you open up your update, is a kind of week of prayer. And it's kind of a bit on a 24/7 format. But the idea isn't to say kind of, it's not, you know, let's fill every hour, but let's get every person praying. That's my heart, that we would actually look at this and think, yeah, you know what, I'd love to pray. I'd love to take time with God. I could do it then. And you might even know right now that as you look at that, you think, yeah, I could pray. I've got nothing planned for 5 a.m. in the morning. And you think, yeah, great, I could do that. Or you think, I always pray anyway at 6 o'clock, and so I'm going to put my name down for that. Or I'd like to pray with my family at, you know, some time on at this time, and we just take time to pray. Can you just take a moment right now? There should be some pens in front of you. If not, there's people coming down. If you know there's a time on there that you think, yeah, I could pray then. It's the beginning of November. This is not something that wait till then. I've found, as I've thought, started thinking about this, it's got me excited about starting to do stuff like this now. And it just kind of gets you thinking about it, and just write it down and commit to it. And we're going to start opening these weeks, kind of build on this, and hopefully there'll be a sense of us really praying together as a church in these days. There'll be ideas and things that we can pray into. You can pray here if it's during the day. You'll see that on the form, or you can pray at your home. But I want you to just take time right now and just fill this in. We're going to collect it up in a moment. Don't worry. If you know I don't have a clue what my diary looks like in November, I would be scared to fill this in, then don't fill it in yet. Come back next week. There'll be a place you can put it in a box outside on the hallway, and we'll just kind of collate this and well, and so we'll get a chance of seeing, yeah, this is the church praying. And it's sometimes nice to kind of wake up in the early hours and think, right, so-and-so has been praying, now I'll start praying. And then as you go to bed, you think, right, they're now picking that up. And it's a thrilling thing. So I'm just inviting you, you all can be a part and you can get time with this wonderful person we've been thinking about. So just take a moment, fill that in if you can. If you need pens, the pen's coming. And then maybe if shortly after that we can have some of these boxes around as well, ushers. And then if people do have them, they want to put them back in. I'd love it if you do feel able to just fill that in. You can always add other times as well. You might just want to put one in now and then think, right, well, I could put in maybe another one in another time. And you actually don't even have to be in the country. I think Matt Lovell's put his name down. I think he's in India. But you know that helps with the time zone thing. Okay. We just want to make time for communion. So if we could just collect some of these things up as well. Just wave it around if you fill yours out. That'd be great. Thanks, guys. Okay. So pray. You get the point. Jesus needed to. I think we need to more than him. So do just wave and pass those cards to someone. That's great. And I just want to finally just talk very briefly about Jesus' priorities. And I notice this in Jesus, that his priorities are not just driven by people's needs and expectations. Hallelujah. You know, I find that a lot of people do have needs and expectations, and those are right sometimes for us to give to. Jesus had spent the whole previous day meeting some of those needs and expectations of those around him. But then there came a moment when he knew he needed to prioritize something else, something that would take discipline. And maybe it was that time of prayer that he just knew he needed to prioritize that in that moment. But then he talks out of that moment. It's almost that that moment recalibrates him to what in this season of his life needs to be his main priority. And for Jesus, he says it really plainly here, doesn't he? I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also. And I want to just say this. It's great to live our lives and do things and be a church that expects God to heal and sees healings and serves the community. But we got to speak. We got to not just live the kingdom. We've got to proclaim the king. And Jesus said this is a priority. And that's why we have a kind of a time in our service where we preach the good news and we proclaim it. And we don't just do that, I hope, on a Sunday, but that happens as we're with one another and we go passing on the message, the good news that the king has come, that there is change possible, that there are lives that can be transformed, that there is a savior, that there is the opportunity for sins forgiven, that there is the opportunity of eternal life because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And so, even as we just end thinking about the good news of the kingdom, this is the place where maybe month by month we can just remember constantly, this is good news. Good news that forgives us, good news that saves us, good news that can heal us. And yes, there are mysteries. Yes, there are secrets. Yes, there are things we don't understand. But there are things revealed. And the revealed thing is that Jesus has power. The revealed thing is that he has power to save. The revealed thing is that we need to pray. We need to spend time alone with him. And there is priorities that Jesus has. He went to the cross. He went to save people. He became to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. News that's relevant for you and I. News that's relevant for everyone in this city. And so we're going to come to this table now in faith. We're going to come expecting to meet with Jesus. We're going to come believing that he can use our prayers even for one another to bring healing and wholeness, peace and forgiveness. We're going to do what people did here. We're going to carry others who maybe even can't even be here themselves to be with Jesus. I'm going to stop preaching, though I love it. And even this morning I was thinking, this is one of the things I know God's called me to do. And we're going to pray. We're going to get ready to have communion, and I'm going to invite those sharing communion to come up as we just sing in a moment. So let's bow our heads, seek God. God, we pray for our praying. We pray for our priorities, each one of us, different seasons of life. Lord, we know our priority is we need you. We need to know you, and we need to make you known. Father, we pray in this time of communion, come and meet with us privately. But Lord, also may there almost be a ministering to one another in this time too. Lord, not by our strength, but by your mighty power. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.